Hello and welcome to ABW Live. I'm your host John, and we're here tonight to talk about our new signing. I'm not going to say his name yet because I'll mess it up, and I want to do that in a bit. As you know, we've been doing these all throughout the summer for every new signing, so thank you all for joining us. Apologies for the tweet earlier that said we were going to start at 7, but then we've got the football when we all wanted to watch the football. So yeah, I'm sure you all watched it anyway. Joining me tonight, we have the GFP. You all right, Danny? How are you doing?
I'm going to be starting a podcast called I'm Not the GFP. And you'll be my first guest.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to call you Danny, you know. Yeah. So it's,
why not? Weird. Seniority thing.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I'm good.
Also joining us, we have BN Josh. See, look, I'm just going to use everyone's Twitter handle now. I'm not going to say their name. You all right?
Hi, that's a bit weird. Thanks. Cheers, Jim. Well, Shady Four.
Yeah, actually, I don't like it. We'll just save it for the GFP. And we also have, from the other side of the world, I don't know what time it is. Is it morning? Is it night? Is it, like, tomorrow?
It's afternoon. Just turned afternoon here.
We have Dom. How you doing, mate?
Evening. What's happening?
It's been a long time.
I'm honestly only here to try and see if Danny can pronounce his geezer's name right. I agreed to this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can say it right. So we will talk about our new signing announced today. I know everyone kind of knew it was coming, and we'll talk about why it was announced today and not previously. But Papastathopoulos. That's the one. There we go. Thank you, Dom. Yeah. Socrates. Anyway, not the Brazilian one. So signing in from Dortmund. We're going to go to Josh in a minute for all the fees and stats and all that kind of thing. We all knew it was going to happen. The part of the reason why it wasn't announced till now is basically Dortmund wanted to put the money for the sale on to this coming season's transfers to go in the books for then, just for tidying up, I suppose, probably for financial fair play, things like that. All agreed, all was probably done about 6 weeks ago now, something like that. I think that was the talk anyway. But we'll go over to Josh quickly for his stats. What was the fee in the end? I can't even remember do we get a confirmed price?
I haven't seen a confirmed. I've seen something mooted around about 19 million euros.
Yeah.
For a 3-year deal for an option of a fourth as well. So Looks like he's going to be staying around for a while. Mr. Papadopoulos is 30 years of age, so bringing more experience into the squad, along with Lichtsteiner that joined us earlier in the summer, who I think is now... No, he hasn't joined up yet, has he? Because he hasn't finished his World Cup escapades.
No.
But I'm sure he'll be along soon. But yeah, started his career at AEK Athens, played 58 games for them with a single goal, and a couple of loans out there for a couple of smaller Greek teams, as you would when you're coming through. And then to Italy, where he played for Genoa for 51 games, 2 goals there, and had a short stint after, under our apparent new manager, Allegri, Milan, where he won Serie A. I don't know how, if he's only played 5 games, he got a winner's medal, but fair play to him, so managed to get that out. And then spent some time at Werder Bremen on loan. Made that transfer official in 2012. Played a few more games for them before moving to Borussia Dortmund. Ironically, in the same window as one Mkhitaryan and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So yeah, played 130 games for them. I think that's where all of us know him from and his time at Werder. 130 games and 7 goals. It's also Greek international. He was vice-captain for them. And he has played 79 games for Greece and 3 goals for them.
So, very experienced player. As you say, he's got a Scudetto medal, but he didn't really play for Milan. He made 5 appearances. Obviously won the German...
He's got the Super Cup. He's won that twice. And the Pokal that he won in 2017. Yeah. But unfortunately, when Klopp's your manager, he's got a lot of runners-up medals, 5 of them, in fact.
He's got something about finals, Jürgen. I don't know what it is. Best Greek young player as well of 2007-2008. I'm just looking up here. So very experienced player. Some people are excited about it, some so not so much. Danny, you have been a Dortmund fan for a while. Obviously, lots of Arsenal fans know Dortmund anyway and kind of follow them. They're one of those clubs that I think Arsenal fans enjoy watching. But Danny, what are you excited about this signing? Mostly because you can't say it, obviously.
Sock pap. It's easy to say. Sounds like a Japanese collectible. I'm very happy about it. He's only just gone 30. And for a central defender, that is the peak of their career. You look at all the, I'm not going to list them, but the players that we've had at the club that have been at that age and then gone on to have some fantastic years. Dortmund are probably the second, possibly third best team in Germany in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, he joined just after they won the double. And ever since then, like, yeah, he said he's been runners-up in the league twice, runners-up in one of the cups 3 times, runners-up in something else twice. And that isn't even, I haven't even got it included last season, so Wikipedia hasn't updated it. But he's a good, solid defender, and he's someone with a lot of international experience. And when you've got someone like Koscielny going out injured until at least Christmas, then who else at the club are you going to have with the kind of stature that he's got? Mertesacker was our player to do that kind of job, and now Mertesacker's retired. So you do need some young, some experienced players. You mean, what has he played in Greece, Italy and Germany? Done well in all of them. Played, what was it, 7 games to win the title with Milan. That's brilliant. That's probably the crowning achievement of his career.
I think his crowning achievement would be engaging in a training ground brawl with teammate Marko Arnautović. So I think we can all agree that that's
that,
fine.
That debut-breaking nonce. So I'm really happy about it. Plus, he's only 6'1". And I saw someone tweeted a goal that he scored against Eintracht Frankfurt from last season where he virtually ran the length of the pitch and curled it top, top corner. I thought that's the kind of player we want. And you're not gonna mess with him, are you? So we're going to have Xhaka, Sokpap, and we're going to have Kolasinic. My good God. You don't want to piss those three off there because you're going to get murdered. We need some steel. So I'm really happy with it.
Fair enough. I'll just give a quick shout out to some people in the box before I go to Dom and his points, views on it. M. Shafiq Loki, we've got our very own Gunaholic. Kelly Mayer, OG himself is in there as well. Archie, Parfusan, Daniel Cronin, no nickname required. Hypnochodes, Dave Smith, Sean Baker, Kevin Laback, My25. Apologies if I've missed anyone. Thank you all for tuning in. Dom. I know you don't watch as much football sort of from around Europe as say maybe me or Josh do, but I'm sure you've seen Sokratis obviously in Champions League and stuff. What's your thoughts on this signing?
I'm not underwhelmed and I'm not overwhelmed. I'm just whelmed. I think that's the best way to describe it. Can you be just whelmed?
I mean, it sounds like an Aussie word, so you probably can. You just make up your own words anyway, don't you?
Pretty much. That's where I'm at. I've always been a big sort of advocate that centre-backs are always about the partnership anyway. You know, when Koscielny and Mertesacker played well together, they conceded very few. They went 18 games unbeaten or some crazy record like that for a while. And a lot of it's just down to the system and the partnerships. And same with goalkeepers. You know, Petr Cech's not a bad goalkeeper. It's just that he's had a very bad defence in front of him that just let shots off from left, right and centre. So I think it just depends on how he's going to fit in with the partner that he's with. And that's the big question for me is I don't really think we know who our two first starting centre-backs are going to be next year. Do you?
I really haven't got a clue. I'm not sure. I think this signing, one of the things for me it says is that I'm guessing someone's leaving. That would be my thinking. When you look at Chambers holding, you know, Mustafi's already there. Koscielny will be coming back, you hope, at some point, you know, if I don't know how well he's going to play when he comes back from that. And then also you've got Mavropanos as well, who we don't know if he's going out on loan or, you know, if he's going to stay at the club and do that kind of thing. So just my own personal thoughts on the signing itself. I'm a bit like Dom. I'm not like overly excited. I think anyone who's watched Dortmund for the last couple of years has seen he hasn't had the best time of it. Basically, since Hummels has left, he hasn't been as good. And I think it's right where Dom points out it is about partnerships. You know, there was a great example. I used to who's the English guy who went to Everton from Man City? Jolyon Lescott. When he was at Man City with Vincent Kompany, if you looked at them as individual centre backs, they're not amazing. You know, they're really not. But when they play together in that Man City side, they're actually one of the best defences in the league at that time. And it's just because they had a good understanding and a really good partnership. So if he comes in and he performs well with someone, whoever that would be, whether it is Mustafi, if he stays, if it's Rob Holding, Callum Chambers, you know, whoever, then that's fine. But if you just look at him as a centre-back on his own, I don't think he's that exciting. I think he's essentially, you know, he's not improving our defence, is what I would say. I don't think it's a significant improvement on our defence. If Mustafi goes out and, you know, Socrates is the one who comes in, I think we're about the same level. It's just now about making, like Dom said, that partnership, trying to find the right partnership and see who it is who works best together. Josh, you watched as much sort of football abroad as me. I've seen a few people who know more about, you know, German football than I do, that ever since Hummels went, basically because he didn't have someone talking next to him, he kind of went a little bit downhill and he hasn't performed as well. Do you think that's the only thing that sort of contributed to his poor performances of late, you know, compared to what he was at sort of the high level when we saw Dortmund all the time in the Champions League getting far into it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those that if you're signing a centre-back at 30, as Danny says, it comes to a certain peak of their, professional career, but you know physically they're going to start to degrade. He's not going to have that pace that did help him prior to that. We've seen Hummels have the same issue now in this World Cup that, you know, he's just lost that yard of pace or so that he had beforehand. And I think the fact that he's still going to be, his experience in the game will be better. His positioning should be better so he can recover from that pace. You know, Mertesacker never had it when he turned up with us and we still managed to create a partnership that helped us keep clean sheets. And I think fundamentally, that's really what we need to be looking at. And until we see what system he's going to play, if we're going to be, you know, camping our back four on the halfway line, playing a super high line, then yeah, he's probably not going to turn out to be the greatest signing for us. But if we're going to be more pragmatic in our build-up play, more pragmatic in the way we defend, then I don't really see too many issues with bringing in an experienced centre-back like we have. And fundamentally, we've seen someone like Callum Chambers just sign a new long-term contract. So we know this isn't going to be for the long term. And he'll just be there. We've got this wonderful crop of young centre-backs who will be able to learn from him. And that's where I'd see it is, you know, Bellerin has been struggling for a couple of seasons. So what would we do? We bring in an experienced right back that he can learn off.
Yeah.
You know, we had an issue with our centre backs and we've now brought in, you know, one, the new manager with the new defensive style. Perhaps with Steve Bould will be paying more attention to that area now. We're not sure until we see it, but we've got, you know, Rob Holding, Callum Chambers, Mavropanos. Those three can stay at us for another decade or so. And I think with the right tuition from experienced pros above them, it will just help them carry on. And I think because we'll now have Mustafi potentially still with us, as you say, we've got a glut of centre-backs now, at least six in the side that we're going to have to see what other plans are because I don't think Koscielny will play too many games for us next season. He's only just started walking and I'm sure Dom knows far more than I do and certainly more informed of how long an Achilles injury like that's going to take to recover from at his age as well.
But, we'll come to the COS thing and what sort of effect that's had on what decisions we've been making for our defence going forward. Danny, I just wanted to get your opinion on, you know, with Socrates coming in, do you think it means that we're either going to sell one of the centre-backs or at least one of them's going out on loan, like one of the younger guys, maybe Mavropanos or maybe a Rob Holding or Chambers or something?
Didn't I read somewhere that the captain's is going to be Ramsey and the vice captain is going to be Chambers? I don't know. I must have read a tweet about that. But I think if anyone is going to go out on loan, it might be Holding, who would I think he's ready for a Premiership loan, and maybe Mavropanos, who could also possibly have a Premiership loan or a top Championship loan, because there's some really decent teams down in the Championship and Stoke. So we want competition for places because we saw last season that quite a few of our players played nearly 60 games each a season. And you could tell coming towards Christmas when we had that busy period that some of them were lagging Although some of our better players, like Jack, who had a good run over Christmas, and even he got knackered, and that bloke could run all day. And all these other players that are going to come in, and I think that's not the end of it. We're going to get some more coming in. There's going to be more competition for places, and no one is going to be a favourite. And I think Sokratis coming in. I thought, hold on, I've said his name
right. Sokratis?
I even confused myself then. I don't know what I've done. Yeah, so when Sokpat, he couldn't come in and demand to be a starter because he's not done that fantastically at Dortmund in the last few years. Again, no one's going to do well with Bayern Munich in that league. So he's going to have to come in and earn his place. But it's going to be an interesting time, and it's good to have lots of players. And yeah, he's a bit of a beast as well, which I said. And somebody out there said that Xhaka isn't a killer. Xhaka is a killer. He's got that look. Got that look like you do, John.
No, I don't. I'm much more gentle. It's all a facade. Yeah, I'm a little pussy cat underneath. Dom, two things I want to ask you. One, like Josh said, I know obviously you don't know the full details of Koscielny's injury. You're not there. You haven't seen all the X-rays and whatever else. But if you can give us sort of a rough idea of what the recovery's like for that kind of injury and what maybe you'd expect to see, timeline coming back or what sort of playing time you'll get. And then I'll have another question for you afterwards. But if you would just want to go into the COS thing first.
There's two problems with the Koscielny one that make it a little bit more difficult to put timelines on it. One, he's already had lots of Achilles issues. He was battling that for the last 2 to 3 seasons of his career. And the thing with Koscielny, I mean, he made a few very big individual errors last year with the Griezmann goal against Atletico, which I'm going to find it tough to forgive him for. But he would have been playing through unbelievable amounts of pain with the particular issue that he had. And he probably knew in the back of his head that rupturing an Achilles was very likely if he kept playing. But he was kind of doing it for the team anyway. And especially with the World Cup just around the corner, you've got to take your hat off to him for that. And, in that Atletico game when it did go 12 months from there, I'd say. So yeah. Whether we see him this season at the tail end of the season, that'd be a bonus, to be honest. I think if you were being sensible about it, and this is where Arsenal have failed in the past, is you would just assume he's not part of your team next year. That would be my advice to the coaching staff, which is probably why I think they've gone after somebody like Sokratis that's 30. He's a bit more mature, because if you look at the age group of the centre-backs that we have, and again, Lichtstein is another example of just having someone with a little bit more experience as a defender in the team, because other than that, it was Monreal who's 31. And that's it. I mean, even Mustafi's only 25, I think. So, Danny brought it up earlier that defenders usually will hit their prime around 29, 30, 31. I think that all leads to the decision of bringing someone like that in, because there was a few whispers of us bringing in another younger centre-back at one point, was there not?
I remember the kid. A Turkish guy. I have no idea what his name is, but yeah, there was a lot of talk. I suppose like at Hoffenheim or something like that, Josh?
Yeah, something like that.
Isn't it? Yeah.
But I think, if Koscielny was around and he was fit and you could trust his Achilles, then maybe Sokratis wouldn't have been brought in. I think it's just a really sensible move to bring somebody in with a little bit more experience. The one thing I'm more concerned about is, like you were saying, where Hummels was the one that was very vocal. And he's not so great without someone that's vocal, but he's probably going to be asked to be the one that brings the experience and the communication back there. I'm not sure. I think the other part of it, I'd be very confident to say that we won't concede as many goals next season as we did this season, purely because I think Emery's setup is completely different when you take into account that we've actually, it hasn't been done yet, but we've seemed very interested in getting in a proper defensive midfielder. Something that we were never, ever going to do under Arsene Wenger, because he kept playing deep-lying playmakers. He wasn't interested in what he would probably think is a limited footballer that can only tackle and defend, even though, most of us has been screaming out for that player for a very long time. So I just think that we're going to see a different setup, and I'm not as worried about individual defenders anymore, because I think it's going to be a much more team-orientated defence.
Yeah. Josh, we've got everyone in the chat helping us out here. Soyun Chu, I think that's his name. He's at Freiburg, not...
Yeah, there's hundreds of millions of accents that were also on top of those letters as well, which is why I didn't want to even get close to it. I think that was, might be the easiest way that we go for it.
Yeah, that was the other one we were linked with. Yeah. The other question I wanted to ask, really, because obviously we've all got our own opinions on Socrates, and, you know, Danny's quite happy about it, quite excited. I don't think any of us are disappointed.
You said how you feel about it.
Yeah, no, I said, yeah, I did say, I was, you know, I'm like Dom, I'm whelmed.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I don't think he improves us. I just think it's another option at the back. And maybe it is like a long-term view too, if the club really don't have faith in Mustafi, he's sort of been rumoured in previous seasons anyway, that they wanted to sell him, that maybe it is a look to get him out. But yeah, the thing I wanted to ask you, Josh, is are we being a little bit unfair, not just on the players that are coming in? You know, I think all the other ones were all been pretty happy about, but also the players that are already at the club, because it is a brand new manager. You know, it's new setup. We don't know what formation we're going to play. We don't know exactly what style of football we're going to play. You know, you can look at Emery teams from the past, but that doesn't necessarily give you an indication of what he's going to do at Arsenal. You can only kind of guess a little bit from it. So, you know, Do we then look at someone like Mustafi, who, you know, I haven't been keen on since he's been at the club, and I think he's, you know, somewhat overrated by people. Do we go, well, actually under Emery, he could be a completely different player, and we have to reassess not just him, but, you know, Socrates coming in, who hasn't had a great time, you know, he's been kind of up and down at Dortmund the last two seasons. Maybe he takes him back to the Socrates that we saw 3-4 years ago at Dortmund.
Yeah, I think new manager can bring... you know, revitalise certain players. You know, we might see the opposite with others, that players that have been standing out for us for previous seasons have just faded away and under the new manager just don't fit in. I think personally, I think he can revitalise Mustafi's career. I don't think the system prior was indicative to what he needed. The fact that we've got a guy now who basically would be doing something like death by... you know, replays, you know, just looking over your performance constantly, looking at self-improvement and really drilling down to those weaknesses and ensuring that, you know, they're at least covered up and making sure this team is balanced. He's got, as you said, a huge dossier of the players that are at the club at the moment. But I think the signings we've seen at the moment, I think we would have welcomed them anyway, irrespective of the new manager. You know, we finally got cover for Bellerin. We've got an experienced centre-back in to replace one that, arguably two, that certainly won't feature for Arsenal next season in Mertesacker and Koscielny. And overall, I think, yeah, the best way I could describe it, as you say, like whelmed, they just seem shrewd investments. And perhaps it's been a while since we've seen those at Arsenal. And that's why we're a bit nonplussed about them, or a little bit depressed that we've seen signings, rather than, you know, I think Mkhitaryan is a shrewd signing, but he's also exciting because he's an attacking player.
Yeah,
but a shrewd defensive signing is very underwhelming in that kind of respect. But
I think what we've seen though is we're finally not doing the square pegs in round holes thing this transfer window. That's what's been a little bit refreshing for me, is that we needed a centre back, we bought one, not a defensive midfielder turned centre back, or a right back turned centre back, or, you know, and hopefully this defensive midfielder situation gets resolved where it's not a box to box midfielder playing as a defensive midfielder. And that's probably a little bit difficult for us to kind of get down to swallow as Arsenal fans, because we're just not used to that. But the one thing I wanted to kind of bring up was the Socrates at Dortmund is going to be a very different player at Arsenal, purely because based on the two differences in style, I would say. Something I don't really know enough about, but John and Josh, you probably will be able to give people a bit more of an idea of the way Emery plays his football versus what, you know, Tuchel or Klopp was playing at Dortmund.
It's certainly not as... I don't want to say he's not expensive, because... you know, Sevilla team played some good football, and so did Valencia, and obviously PSG did, but it's very difficult to judge him on PSG because it's such a weird situation. You're a club that's so far ahead of everyone in the league other than essentially Monaco, but it's very difficult to make judgments on it. But if you know, his teams are exciting. I think they do play good football, but what I would say is a lot more pragmatic. I don't know if Joshua would agree, but I think he's been a lot more pragmatic as a manager in his career than Tuchel or Klopp has been. So you are less likely under Emery, as long as he sticks to what he's done throughout his entire career, which there's no reason to think he'll change, that, you know, you're very unlikely to see two centre-backs on their own at the back with absolutely no cover and no one helping them. I don't know if you'd agree with that sort of statement, Josh.
Yeah, certainly with Dortmund as well. So that Dortmund's intimating as well that under Tuchel, defence was certainly not something that was high up on his agenda at all, which is where you may have seen like a false decline in Socrates.
Yeah,
rather than an actual decline. Because
I think that's a fair thing to say, because Dortmund were not like a big slump down, but they were obviously on this huge high from like Champions League final and winning the Bundesliga and stuff. And they were clearly in, you know, going backwards a little bit, but not as much as perhaps has been made out. So that could certainly contribute to some of his performances.
I think, is it Philip Boas was their manager last season? Or started at the Ajax manager. That was a terrible disaster as well. Absolute disaster for them. So I think for the last couple of seasons, he's had managers that defence isn't necessarily the first place that they will start in their team. Klopp, after listening to his book that Raphael Honigstein co-wrote about Klopp and how he deals with defenders, that he, as an old centre-back himself, he does understand what defenders need to be doing and was a defensively inclined manager. Whereas, Tuchel, it's a little bit Arsene Wenger-y in that kind of respect. And so I think that's why he's gone to PSG as well, because defence isn't really something they need at that club. It is all about attack, attack, attack. And that's what he really brought to Dortmund. He made them, you know, he would be smashing teams, you know, 5-4 rather than 2-0.
Yeah.
And it was that excitement that really saw him rise up and get him all the plaudits.
Yeah, so I think the point you brought up earlier about, you know, maybe Emery can revitalise Socrates' career a little bit, just because he is a bit more pragmatic, you know, I think that's good. And we do know also that his teams do work really, really hard. He's very keen to stress that in all his sort of statements he's made since he's been at the club as well.
What you're saying is Iwobi will be knackered after 50 minutes instead of 60.
Yes, if he's still there, I don't know. I don't know what they'll do with Iwobi, but we shall see. I still think there's a player in there. Maybe he needs to trim a little bit of that that muscle he's got, slim down a bit. But thanks to everyone again in the chat box. If you are enjoying what we do throughout the World Cup, we are going to do some more World Cup shows as well, not just transfer ones. I think we're going to do one after the round of 16, Danny, is that correct?
If you would like to know, I've just gone over them today. We're going to do the next one is going to be this Wednesday or Thursday, depending on when people are available. Because it's going to be on the off day, on the rest days. The one after that is going to be the 8th or the 9th of July, then the 12th or the 14th of July. And then the final is on the 15th of July, but that should finish about 7 o'clock, about 6-ish. So and we'll be doing a show on the straight after, a little while after the final. So we've got four more World Cup shows, but just trying to get everybody together. And with this wonderful weather, I say to you lot, should we do a show? I wasn't watching the group games. You lot are going, I'm out, busy getting drunk. or if you're Chris, laying on a rock trying to pretend you're a mermaid.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we've got to find up.
Yeah, so more World Cup shows coming as well. So if you enjoy those, please stick to our Twitter. You'll find that at the AFC podcast, or subscribe to our YouTube below and click the little bell icon and it will notify you whenever we go live, and a thumbs up as well. That'd be really, really helpful. We have got some questions from our chat box, so I did want to go through these as well. These are some of them. Yeah, a lot of them are about some other signings. One from RGQ. I'll stick with you, Danny. Do you think the Torreira deal is done and we can actually buy DM? Or will we be Arsenal and miss out?
Ah, well, interestingly, in Italy, they've cancelled the third-party ownership, because I was looking at the deal when Sokpap went to Italy. Three people owned a part of him. So when he moved to Genoa. And then he moved on. I think he went there for about €14 million. And then after that, he moved on to AC Milan. And I think when you have three-way ownership, which we've seen a lot of South American players, they've now cancelled that in Italy. You're not allowed to do it anymore. So that's going to make the deal a bit easier, because you know that if he's owned by three different groups or sets of people, then they're going to go, oh, pre-World Cup, 30 million. The chairman said, deal done. We've sold him. But I was waiting. I was thinking it's going to be the 1st of July for the same reason as the SOCPAP deal, because then it will count as this season's transfer fund rather than last season's. And then we wouldn't put it past the old way in Italy. Then they go, oh, no, he's had a World Cup. All that 30 million deal, one of the people said, no, we want 60 million now, or someone else wants 90 million. Or, and then someone will come in and go like that, you know, like a Monaco or a PSG always come in and snap up the one of the best young players of the World Cup. And he has been absolutely immense. I mean, when you're doing a tackle with your head and you're on all fours, you know, that bloke's dedicated. And the number of times that he went to the back four, or the back four, his defenders picked the ball up, went into midfield, passed it around, then was quickly getting. It was like what Kante used to do when he was at his peak at Leicester and I suppose at Chelsea in the first season. But I hope we're going to do it. Somebody has bought him, and I hope it's us. And I hope that that with the new Arsenal regime of getting the player while the World Cup is still on and doing things early is. I mean, we've signed three players before the World Cup's even finished. Normally, we'd be all. I mean, our transfer deadline day, because Wenger's gone, is ruined now. Nothing's going to happen. It's all going to be done months beforehand.
We'll have no show to do whatsoever.
We'll just replay the old shows. Yeah, hopefully it's going to happen, because he is a fantastic player. And he's 24 and 5 foot five?
22.
Yeah, he's younger than that, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, all the Italian papers have basically been saying it's done. It's just the medical and some like final details.
I've got a theory on that situation, and that is that transfer season is all about hits and clicks. And, you know, we know some journalists and we know the industry and how it works. And, you know, whilst the deal's not done, why not stir it up? You know, if you're a journalist, why not link him with someone else to, you know, get the Arsenal fans outraged for some more hits and clicks? And we see it all the time. You know, even the day before a deal gets announced, you'll see headlines about how someone's going to swoop in last minute to scupper the deal. And it's just all, I think it's just them just trying to milk the deal for all it's worth until it finally gets announced, because of the fact that he's having a good World Cup, because of the fact we've been crying out for one for a long time, and because of the fact that Arsenal fans are really easy to wind up.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, there's some quotes from his father saying that they, you know, they were interested in a move to Napoli, but Arsenal offered more money, which is, you know, obviously we're going to be able to offer more money than Napoli. But he has a buyout clause, so there'll be no problems in terms of the fee. I know some people were worried because the Samp owner came out and said, oh, yeah, he's sold and nothing's done since then. The Samp owner is a little bit nuts. He'll come out and say whatever and kind of forget about, you know, agreements. Not that he won't renege on agreements, but he, you know, Arsenal might have said to him, oh, can we, you know, just keep this a little bit quiet until, you know, Uruguay are out of the World Cup and we've finalised the medical and everything else. The Samp owner just likes to do things his own way. He can often be seen sitting in the stands with a Sampdoria scarf wrapped around his face in horror because he's wondering whether the team's going to score or not. He's not quite all the ticket, but good fun to watch anyway. Next question, Josh. What are your individual expectations of the season?
Ooh.
Sorry, that was from K-Man 1867.
That's a great question. I don't want to sit on the fence because I know Jason will shout at me from somewhere in his darkest Wales. I would like to see everybody that's coming in and work it out from there and what our rivals are doing. But I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be able to get into the top three, put it that way.
Top three? Ooh,
yeah.
Very confident. That's honestly, you've like almost taken the words out of my mouth. Sorry.
I think
that's great.
I've got a feeling that we'll do something in Europa League as well. I think we said on his announcement video that, you know, he's won, Emery's won three Europa Leagues in a row at Sevilla. So he knows how to get it done in that competition. But depending on where he leaves, where he decides to, you know, put all his eggs in which basket, I think, yeah, top three. I think we could do that.
Wow. Well, I know we haven't got Chris Carpenter, but we got the next best thing.
I promise not to stand on any rocks. My body is so pasty, you'll assume it's an iceberg.
If we see you taking your T-shirt off, we're shutting this down.
One from No Nickname Required. I'll take this because Dom can have sensible questions. Although, not that this isn't a sensible question, No Nickname Required, but I think you have asked it before. Do you think Ozil will get the number 10 since Jack is gone? Yes. I mean, you know, why wouldn't they give it to him? Also makes sense for his branding. And should we change the Mesut Ozil song because Wenger is no longer around? No, I don't remember any players having their songs changed, although we haven't had Arsene for... Yeah, we had him for a long time.
We changed the same song, didn't we? And we changed Ashley Cole's.
Yeah, yeah. That's slightly different, though, Danny. They had left the club. But no, I still like the Mesut Ozil song. I think you still keep it. Dom, slightly more serious question from Archie Q. What do you think on the abuse Ozil is getting? Is it about football or the turkey photo? Slightly murky waters here, because this is, I think he's referring to his picture with President Erdogan, isn't it, from Turkey? So do you think it is just football, or do you think there is a little bit more behind it?
I think there's probably definitely a little bit more behind it, just with, I think you were saying in our WhatsApp group that the divide within the Germany camp with the Bavarian boys versus the other guys. And I don't know. I just think that German team maybe needed a little bit of youth to come through, and they were really missing a guy like Philipp Lahm in the dressing room that was able to get everybody together. I think that was one of the big, and Schweinsteiger as well, perhaps, where the disharmony in teams is quite prevalent at the World Cup at the moment, with Argentina as well, where if you don't have everybody playing off the same, you know, singing off the same hymn sheet, you can see what happens. You can have the individuals out there, which is, again, bringing it back to Arsenal, how I've felt the last year or two, where it's almost like everyone's expected to go out there and perform as individuals, where my expectations for the season are top four and to see consistent team football. I want to get a footballing identity back. And if you look at a team like Uruguay at the World Cup, everyone's comparing them to Atletico Madrid, because every single one of those players is playing for the team, for the shirt. You know, they're doing it together and they all know their roles. And I think that's the big takeaway, that those camps, with the German one in particular, I think that they're missing that at the moment. And as far as the abuse for Mesut Ozil goes, I am a Mesut Ozil fan. I also do think that he could do a little bit more in an Arsenal shirt. And I think maybe he'll potentially be forced to do that under an Emery. But I asked this question in our little group the other night, and it's something that I really thought about, was I don't know too many other footballers in the world that can either be man of the match or given a scathing review based on the efficiency of their teammates. So what I mean by that is Mesut Ozil created 7 chances, 3 clear-cut chances, and his teammates just couldn't finish their dinner. If he puts in that performance again, the exact same statistics, the exact same performance, and they finish those chances, he's man of the match. I think that's really interesting with Mesut Ozil. And there's not too many players in the world that are like that, which I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to give him a pass. But I do think that that is what polarizes a lot of the fan bases, and journalists alike, is that if he has a little A symbol next to his name 3 times in that game, he's man of the match. But the teammates missed the chances, and everyone says that that's his fault, you know, somehow. So I think it comes with the territory of being a world class player.
Yeah, I haven't seen like every game of the World Cup. The ones I've missed, I've tried to catch highlights and stuff, but what I saw of the Germany games, I don't like. Ozil wasn't the worst player on the pitch by far. I mean, in the first one, it was Khedira and just the complete lack of any midfield.
Thomas Muller was disgraceful all tournament. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them, wasn't it?
You know, Kimmich as well, who's a player I really, really like and really highly rate, where I thought was really off. And just some of the tactics as well from the manager just seemed odd. So, yeah, I do think some of it does come down to football sometimes. He is an easy target. Yeah, it's the difference between now and previously, where if you follow someone like Ralf Hollenstein, you will see that Ozil never got abuse in Germany before, really. He was always like the favourite player, always German player of the year and everything else. And that's kind of flipped now. So I do think that is for non-footballing reasons, sadly. But that's just the times we live in. So we're going to do one more question, I think, and then we're going to wrap it up for the night. Ali D, who do you guys think will partner Socrates in central defence if no more ins or outs are in defence? So I'll give everyone a shot at this. So Danny, who do you think will be his centre-back partner if no one leaves or no one else comes in?
Mustafi, definitely.
Josh?
Callum Chambers.
Ooh. Dom?
I think it'll start as Mustafi, but I genuinely think that position's up for grabs.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Dom there. I think, you know, Socrates comes in and probably ISU would come in to get a starting place, but I don't think there's a definite who's going to start next to you. Mustafi would get it on seniority, but yeah, there's a lot of, you know, Callum Chambers, I think, had a very good end to the season. We know what Rob Holding can do. He did sort of go down a little bit, and you've got Maropanos as well. So it's nice to have some competition there. But yeah, that's all we're going to do for tonight. We will be back for, what day did you say, Danny? I've completely forgotten, for the round 16.
Tomorrow or Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, so tomorrow's England game.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so Wednesday or Thursday we'll be back and we'll be doing a World Cup show. I've no idea who's going to be on that. Danny sorts all that out. We will be back for any more signings. So, Tareya, if it all gets done, fingers crossed that happens, that will be after Uruguay are out of the competition, I assume, at some point after that, and any other ones as well. But, yeah, so we shall keep you up to date with any more transfers. Thank you again for everyone for tuning in. As I said before, if you can smash the thumbs up button, that'd be really great. We've got 100 of you, over 100 of you now. I've only got 41 thumbs up, but Jason does this all the time, and I know you love giving him a thumbs up, so come on, you can give me a thumbs up as well. But if you haven't already subscribed, please subscribe as well, and remember to hit the bell icon and it will notify you whenever you go live. If you haven't got a YouTube account, you don't want to do that, it's fine. Come and follow us on Twitter at the AFC podcast, and we will tweet and we'll actually put out the correct tweet and say what time we're coming on, and not say we're going to be on at 7 o'clock, and then put a tweet afterwards saying, no, we're not, we mean 9 o'clock.
That's Jason's fault. You said, John's hosting. I said, was he back yet? And they were texting you, and you said, no, I won't be back. I went, all right, John's going to host later.
Yeah, so there you go. Jason runs it all, and it's all his fault. Yeah, that just leaves me to say thank you to the GFP.
I'm not the GFP.
Thank you to Josh.
Cheers, John.
And thank you to Dom as well for coming on.
Thanks, all.
And thank you to everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you to everyone in the chat box. Thank you to everyone listening later on iTunes or SoundCloud or watching later on YouTube. Yeah, thanks for joining us. And we'll be back on Thursday or Wednesday or, yeah, sometime. Bye-bye.